Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. It's wonderful to talk again. And this is Bahar this week, the laws of Shemitah and Yovel and various other things. To me, this is special because this is my bar mitzvah parsha, Parshas Bahar. And I remember when I was 12 years old and I was standing by my grandmother, who after my grandfather passed away at when I was about 9 years old, my grandmother, believe it or not, used to fahem me on my Gemara every week because that's what she was able to do. She gave bar mitzvah lessons when she was in the 30s, when there were no men around in 1940s during the war. She gave bar mitzvah lessons to boys. Imagine that today. But she sat in her father's shir in Eretz Yisrael, where he was the Rosh Hashiva, and she listened to shiurim from him every morning when she was a young girl. And she stored that knowledge. And I always remembered saying over what I learned that week, and she would ask me questions and usually complain to my father that he's not doing a good job teaching me. And when I told her my bar mitzvah parsha was Bahar, she started to ask me questions on Shemitah and Yovel. And then she told me, how could I learn this parsha? Because I don't know the halachas well enough in Shemitah and Yovel, and therefore I couldn't lane, which is something when I began to teach my mitzvah lessons later on, I always try to make the boys understand the parsha. It gives you an insight in the feeling, the emotion that goes on while you're laning. It's very important. It gives you that sense of feeling, and you're more likely to lane it correctly and give it that feeling that it deserves, because so many parshas are full of emotion and the ideas behind it. The question right away when we learn Bahar is the very first pasuk when it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimor. The question is asked so many times, and of course Rashi addresses it right away the way he says, why would it say it this point in time, Bahar Sinai Leimar, all the mitzvos just like these are from Har Sinai. All the mitzvos that we had, all 613, are part of the mitzvos that Moshe received on Har Sinai. So I entitled this year this week 613 a crash course. And it's unbelievable to think that, you know, how many years have we been Mavis Sedra? Depending on how old you are, we've been through the Sedris, we've been through the Torah every year. We make a Siyam on Zos HaBracha, and we start off gracious with a fresh pair of eyes. It's wonderful. We understand it a little more deeply, and we begin to understand the mitzvos. But look how many years it takes us to understand the mitzvos. And nothing is more significant than the parsha beginning over here, Bahar Sinai Leimor, because in fact, the reality is that why, if that's true, what Rashi says, why only at this juncture does the parsha say Bahar Sinai Leimor? Why not last week by Emor? Why not any other parsha? Why pick Bahar to start off Bahar Sinai Leimor? And of course, the answer is that it goes back to the way the parsha ended last week. We had the parsha of somebody went ahead, unfortunately, the daughter of the son of Shlomis Bas Devri Lamate Don, he cursed the name of Hashem. He was Mekalel, and therefore he was condemned to stoning, to Skila. And of course, we had to know that Moshe had to Kilo for Rash Mayel Solo. The people, and even Moshe Rabbeinu, were unsure what to do with him. And the reason, of course, that they were unsure what to do with him, because since he didn't have a Jewish father, they thought perhaps that he wasn't a Jew. And if he wasn't a Jew, he wasn't eligible to get Skila. He didn't have the same punishment as all the other Jews would have had, because we learned previously that if you curse the name of God in Mishpatim, we learned that the death penalty is there. But why in Parshas Bahar is why at the end of Emor did we have to ask? And the question is, we didn't know if he deserved the death penalty. And if he deserved the death penalty, we didn't know what the penalty is. And God had to tell Moshe, Ki kalel elukov v'nasocheto. What does the word elukov mean to us? Anybody who curses the name of God, regardless if he is a Jew or a non-Jew, it's one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and therefore he's subject to the penalty of Skila just like any other Jew. But the amazing thing is that look how many times that Moshe did not know what to do. We have by Pinchas, where the Bnei Slavkot didn't know if they're entitled to a Yerusha, Lomosh Yugarash Movinu B'soch Mishpachto, and Moshe had to ask God, Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpatan. We know by the, we're going to read in Shlach, we read about the Mekoshesh Eitzim. There are a few times in the Torah that Moshe is unsure what to do. And that really is begs the question, amazingly enough as it is, that Moshe spent three times with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai. One would think that by now, after 120 days sitting and learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although not necessarily learning all 20 days, 120 days, because the second time he went up, he only went up for a different reason. He was asking for forgiveness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even if we entail the 40 and 40 and say 80 days, and God taught him, the Abar Ben El makes an interesting point and says that God gave him basically a bechina on different topics to make sure that he knows. But the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he was, there are a lot of things that if we don't go over it day in and day out and remind ourselves of what we learned that day, the Torah says in Miazveka Yom Yomayim Miazveka, when we don't review something that we learned, you lose 2 days because it takes one day to catch up. And it's very interesting. Also, in fact, that we have these a saying that we have, and that lo dummy mea kameya viecha, when you learn something 100 times is not as good as 101. Of course, there's a marsha that makes a point of saying why particularly use the number 100 as 101, why not 1,000, 1,001, or 50 and 51, because that would seem to entail to give us the same impression. But he says the difference between Shochach and Zohar, the gematria of Zohar is 227 and Shochach is 328, and the difference is 101. And therefore, the difference between them is as 101. So long domi mea kameya viecha. But getting away from that is very important, because now that we're learning in Parshas in the Sefer Vayikra, we had the Maase Egel. And after the Maase Egel, when the Mishkan is constructed, God had to be concerned with Klal Yisrael, knowing exactly to teach the Kohanim and the rest of Klal Yisrael what would entail in serving in the Mishkan, bringing the Karbanos, what kind of a carbon, what kind of sin or thanksgiving that we want to give to Hashem. Are we eligible to bring certain Karbanos, whatever it is, whether it's a Shlomim or Toda, all different kinds of Karbanos. We have to learn all the laws. But how many of us remember all those laws? We've learned them, we've gone through it. If we're 60, we've been through it how many times? I don't know, 50, 75, 100. And we go through it time and time again. We learn it in yeshiva, if we've been to yeshiva. And it's incredible how many times we've gone through it. And yet, how many of us remember or know, if I ask somebody to pick a mitzvah and go through all the details and all the halachas that are entailed in the halachas, even by Pinchas, Moshe didn't react. He didn't know what to do when it took Vayar, Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron, HaKohen. Pinchas had learned that this remember, this halacha, he remembered. Moshe couldn't recall exactly what it is. Amazing, we would think. Moshe got his smicha. Moshe was 81 years old, and God, he was a Navi, the greatest of all. And he had his smicha, certainly, so to speak, directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet he was unable to whip out an answer right away. People ask a rabbi in shul sometimes a question, and they're expected to give an answer right away. Sometimes there are people think when the rabbi says, I'll have to, you know, get back to you, that it is a drawback. The rabbi should know right away. I mean, he has smicha, he should know right away. But not everything can we recall on a moment's notice. Some of us are better than others. It's wonderful, those of us who can, and various things like that. But even Moshe Rabbeinu faltered at that time, not to say faulted, but he wanted to make sure that he had everything in place that he would do. And I remember very distinctly years ago when I moved into my house, I had a young neighbor, and he was working for the Jewish, he was working for the Israeli government. And he asked me one time, he saw my son had just gotten his smicha, and we were walking home from shul Friday night, and my son told me later, he was laughing, and he said, you know what, he asked me, if there's a shortcut, is there a, so to speak, Reader's Digest version of getting smicha? He spent 4 years, I mean, of course, all the years previous in yeshiva, but he go into a smicha program, it's 4 years of intensive learning with exams. And this person wanted to know, is there some way you could get smicha on a more, on an easier level? Somehow you get a license to be a rabbi and not so intensive course, so we have a shorter way to do it. And he was laughing about it, and he told him, no, there is no such thing. If you want to be a rabbi, you have to go through the intensive course of learning and to be tested on it and know all the klals of prat. But the question is, after you learn it, do you review it? Do you say it again and again and again? And unfortunately, what God has been telling Klal Yisrael, they're sitting in a midbar, as it'll turn out to be for 40 years in the midbar. Nobody had to earn a living. All they had to do was sit and study the Torah. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to harvest. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to go shopping for clothing, shopping for food, cook, or doing anything to fix their clothing. It grew with them. Shalchol lo valsar me'al raglecha, v'nalchol lo valsar me'al raglecha. Everything that they had, God provided. The reason he provided with them with all of this is that he wanted them to be able to focus on learning all the halachas, because once they would get into the land of Israel, they had to know everything. But at this point in time, we see certain halachas that till we get to Bamidbar, and certainly in Devarim, where we have so many halachas that are going to be foisted upon us, rapid fire, one after the other. How long did Moshe give each one chance to digest those halachas one at a time? Did they sit and learn them each one? Was everybody involved? It's very difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu himself certainly had to answer questions all the time. But at this juncture, at this point in time, the halachas that we are learning are all the halachas to do with the Mishkan, because that is the topic at hand. And that's what was necessary to learn. Finally, when we get to this Parsha Bahar, is the first time we're dealing in the whole Sefer Vayikra of the laws of man and his fellow man. In other words, we have the Shemitah and Yovel. But more than the Shemitah and Yovel, which imagine you buy a piece of property. In fact, actually in England, even in the 20th century, the law was that land, when you bought a house, you didn't own it outright. You owned it for 99 years, and then it would revert back to its original owner. In Judaism, it's for Yovel, it's for 50 days maximum, depending on what year in the Yovel, and the price on the home would be according to the years that you had left. Shnasa Yovel, you would prorate it. If there were 30 years till Yovel, it would be prorated at that point. If you lent somebody money and he didn't pay it back by the Shemitah year, the loan was absolved. Imagine teaching somebody that. But also it leads to unfortunate incidences where the haves and the have-nots get wider and further apart, because people who have the money can sort of undercut the price, do something to make the person who's desperate for money. And therefore, it says what the Torah is very interested. I'm giving you the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, but you're living with your brother, your fellow Jew. You have to treat him accordingly. And we have to, this is at the very beginning, at after the Hilchas Kohanim, what we're getting into at this juncture is the very important point of what the people have not had. They're in the second year in the Midbar, and they've been slaves for 210 years. There's no camaraderie amongst the people. They are learning to live together. Don't forget, if there's over, since there are over 3 million Jews in a very confined space, it's very important that the Jews in this little area, which was 12 mil by 12 mil, in other words, approximately 7 and something square miles of people, 3 million people, imagine that, living in an open space, they have to learn to get along. And God is telling them, you're going to go into the land. And if there's not Achdus in Klal Yisrael, there's not the slightest chance of survival. Because if you're going to live even in Eretz Yisrael, when you grow and we have to fight wars, if the people aren't firmly ensconced with feeling a certain level of closeness to the neighbor, each Jew, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lo Zeh, that they understand that Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, they should not have any slaves, and nobody should be a slave to anybody else. The Torah is concerned about people who are desperate and try to sell themselves into slavery. God says, I don't want you to do it. But on the other hand, if you're desperate, I hope he's talking to all the people that you have a relative, and he's talking to the relative, the haves, to make sure that your fellow neighbor has what to eat. If he's in a situation where he feels the need to sell himself, tell him that if you don't have a job, I could find you a job. I could do something for you to help you, especially if you're a family member. You have to take that extra step to help your fellow man. And that's what God is pointing out in this Sedra. It tells us about Neshech and Tarbis, your interest. Sometimes somebody wants to lend money, and it says, Ki Ochicha, Lo Sashich Li Ochicha. Why does it use? It should say, Lo Sashich Li Ish Ivri, that you shouldn't charge to a fellow Jew. But of course, very simply, if your brother, Lo Sashich Li Ochicha, Neshech Kesef, Neshech Ochel, if he were your brother, and he asked you to lend $1,000, would you charge your brother interest? And what God wants to instill in the people is a closeness that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lo Zeh. Even the people that are not your relatives, I need you to understand right now that you have to treat your neighbor who's not related as if he were a family member and give him the courtesy and help him to raise him up to the level that he could live a normal life. And this is what the parsha is all about. It's not just Shemitah and Yovel, but it's teaching us to have that faith in God when we give up our property in Yovel, when we give it back, even though we only bought it for a certain period of time, but not to abuse the privileges that God gave us. When the haves lord it over the have-nots, that is when society falls apart. And we see that in the world today, what goes on. Amongst the Jews, we see the level of giving tzedakah is certainly greater than any other. It's not even close on the world stage how much tzedakah Jews give, how much the kind of chesed organizations that we have. It's a wonderful thing to see. The questions are not asked. If you need money, there's always some place to go. And we have to avail ourselves of it. And people are not looking back. There's that achdus that is inherent in our upbringing as Jews. The problem we have is the world that's around Eretz Yisrael and the world that's around us, even living in America, doesn't live by the same rules we do. Hopefully, by exhibiting our standards of the Torah, we can teach the rest of the world to live by the standards that we have and not cause a Chilul Hashem by not upholding those standards. Thank you and have a good Shabbos.